fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, those that have been saved, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, Jesus Christ should be our example for our attitude and our temperament. Some people just got a short temper. Well, Jesus didn't have a short temper. Hello? He didn't get mad easy. I know one time he got upset. It was godly anger. He sat down, planted a whip, and he cleaned God's house, got the crooks out of it. Amen? Amen. Turned over their money tables, and they were selling bad sheep and bad turtle doves and things like that to people that couldn't afford to get the good stuff. And he called them a bunch of crooks and thieves, and he run them out. And that's the only time I ever see where... And he didn't lose his temper then. He was God. He was just doing what he was supposed to do. But he had the right temperament. He was the embodiment, listen to this, he was the embodiment of the fruits of the Spirit. If the fruits of the Spirit are the fruits that are produced by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is God, and God is the Holy Spirit, and they're three in one, then this must be his fruit also. Yes. Now, if we want to pattern our life after someone, we want to have someone as an example, we need to do it after him. Now, I've known a lot of men since I've been saved I really looked up to, and I really admired, and I loved greatly, but I have never tried to pattern my life by another man or another Christian. I want to pattern it by Jesus Christ. I want his temperament. Now, I used to have a bad temper. I used to have a bad temper. I'd get mad at the drop of a hat. I'd drop a hat so I could get mad. Boss man look at me crooked. I'd just throw my toe down, walk out the door, and never go back. Yeah. That's right. Y'all ain't never done that? Yeah, y'all of you probably done it. Except you, Brother Dan. You're smooth, I understand. But most of us, a lot of us, hello, we wasn't saved. We weren't Christians. We wasn't patterning our life after anybody. We was living selfishly and self-centeredly, and we wanted to have it our way or no way at all. And he was the embodiment of the fruit of the Spirit. If you wanted to see the fruit of the Spirit, look at Jesus Christ. That's what he had. Every day, all day long, in everything he did. Now, we can't always add up to that, but we can go after that. We can reach toward that. We can pattern ourselves after him to be like that. And, by the way, it says against such there is no law about these things. Now, you live selfishly and self-centeredly, and you're going to break God's law and man's law too. But you live after Jesus Christ, and you walk in the Spirit, and you won't break any laws. Amen. Now, people say, well, I'm just not that type of person. Well, get that way. Follow after him, desire him, pray to be like him, chase after him, and you'll end up with the fruit of the Spirit. But now, if you just go join church, get baptized, make a profession of faith, there ain't nothing changed. Sometimes I get around people, I meet people that claim to be Christian, and they'll start saying words they ought not say. They'll say words they ought not say. Bad words. Some of it's slang, but it's still bad words. Some are actually cuss words. And then they'll apologize to me. And I think, well, what you apologizing to me for? I'm not the one writing it down. That's not the Spirit coming out of you. That's the devil coming out of you. Amen? Amen. And we ought to get so full of Spirit that when you slam your finger in the car door, you go, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, you can. I've done it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! I slammed my finger in the car door one time, and that thing swole up. My wife kept telling me to go to the doctor, and I wasn't doing it. Hurt, and I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do any of that. Throb, 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 throb. Went to the emergency room. That man grabbed my finger, and he held it down on the table, and he took something that looked like a soldering iron. One of them had a hot tip on it, and he went, psh, and he burned a hole through that fingernail. Blood squirted up that high. I jerked the hand back and said, "Glory to God, Doc, you almost got hit." Listen, if you're going to pattern yourself after somebody, it shouldn't be an ungodly movie star or entertainer or sports person. It'll be him. Amen? Amen. And by the way, Jesus said the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. That's all. Whatever's in your heart's coming out your mouth. That's exactly it. This is the well, and that's the dipper. And it's going to bring it out. It's going to, sooner or later, this will show what's in here sooner or later. Amen? Come on, help me here. Boy, must be a lot of cussing badness in here tonight. He had love for everybody. He did. He had love for everybody. He loved Judas. He felt bad when Judas betrayed him and kissed him. He said, "Judas, betrayest thou me with a kiss?" He loved Judas. Listen, we need to do like he did. Listen, we need to start never give up on anyone. Don't curse people, bless them.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't curse them, bless them. Now you can put a curse on people. You can, with your mouth. But don't curse people, bless them. And, he never did. And always, he always had hope for sinners. He always had hope for sinners. And we ought to have hope for sinners. That's what the fruit of the Spirit will do inside of you. It'll make you love people, it'll make you have hope for people, it'll make you bless people. And then I want you to notice this in Matthew chapter 20. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. We're talking about what should we pattern ourselves after. Jesus Christ. We do call ourselves Christians, don't we? Matthew, why do you think we call ourselves that? Because we joined the church. We'd be churchins if that was it. And a lot of churches got urchins. And look at Matthew chapter 20. Look at verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles," listen, "you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great, exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." I go to places, people say, they call me reverend. I say, "I'm not a reverend. That word's not in the Bible, but one time he's talking about God then." And they say, "Well, you're a minister." I say, "Well, I try to minister. That doesn't make me a minister, but I try to." And what they think that means is big shot. They do. The world thinks pastor, minister, even the churches now, think that that's the big shot. That's the big dog. Well, we're all a bunch of little puppies. Yep. Amen. We just have different callings, that's all. And to minister to people is to serve people.
Yes.
If you don't like to serve people, you better not get into real ministry. Now, if you want people to serve you, there are some churches you can go to, and they'll wait on your hand and foot. But the real ministers, like your family, like where you come from, they minister to others. They didn't expect people. They'd tell me stories about houses and stuff they had lived in over the years and places they had lived. That was a lot of sacrifice to serve others. And most people don't think of the ministry like that, but that's what it is, and that's what Jesus said. He said, "Look, you're going whatsoever, whoever be chief among you, let him be your servant." I don't even even like to stand up at those meetings where they say, would the preacher stand and call out your name, your church? I don't like to do that. And what we need to do, we need to start serving other people, because that's all Jesus did. Jesus sat down and washed their feet. We need humility. Look, if we're going to be Christians, look up here, girls. If we're going to be Christians, we're going to have to be humble people. Christians are not braggadocious and proud and outstanding. You usually won't see them in a crowd. They're usually at the back of the line. They're usually quiet, minding their own business. Jesus did. We need to learn humility. He was. And if anybody had the right to boast, he did. Amen. He's the creator of the universe. He could have boasted. He could have bragged, but he never did. And we need to look inside ourselves to humble ourselves. And realize who we really are. And that'll humble you. That's when you'll start saying, when people say, how you doing? You'll say, a lot better than I deserve. I've looked in myself. Amen? Yes. And then, to humble ourselves, we need to look at people around us. There's a lot of people who need somebody to serve them. There's a lot of people who need somebody to minister to them. Amen? I think it's about 18 years. Me and my wife and kids drove those old church buses all over to York County and all up to Charlotte, and youth rallies up. Man, we went everywhere in them old buses, and half of them were black and half white and mixed and everything else, and wild as some of the wildest things you ever seen in your life. And people say, how can you do that? I said, well, that's just what the Lord's got me doing. I'll do whatever he lets me do. Amen. Amen. And had a good time doing it. But we need to look at people around us and find ways to minister to other people instead of expecting everybody to minister to us. And then we need to, if we're going to humble ourselves, we need to look beneath us. There's a hell. You don't hear much about it anymore. But it hadn't gotten any cooler. It hadn't shrunk. Matter of fact, it's enlarging itself. Every time there's an earthquake, that's hell enlarges itself, the Bible says. Every time there's a volcano, that's hell enlarges itself, the center of the earth. And people still go to hell. People we love go to hell, whether our kin folks or not. If without Christ, they'll go to hell. We need to start looking beneath us and realize that if we'll humble ourselves, they might see Christ in us and want what we have and not go to hell. Sinners don't care nothing about big talking, proud walking people that claim to be Christians. They look at them and say, hypocrite. Jesus wasn't like that. Even sinners got enough sense to know that. Amen? Amen. Pride is a terrible thing. And then I got to hurry. John chapter 2. John chapter 2, real quick. Y'all not listening fast enough. John chapter 2, look at verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Now Jesus went in there and he made those cords and he turned over those money changers' tables and he took his whip and he run them out, and his disciples looked at him and they remembered the Old Testament prophecy that said about the coming Lord, the zeal of the house of God hath eaten him up. In other words, he had so much zeal, he could not just sit by and do nothing. Amen. And in order to be like Jesus, we're going to have some zeal. The current generation, even the older people living in this generation, have got so lackadaisical and so laid back and so, let's just be honest, lazy about the things of God, you can't hardly even get them in church one time a week, much less go visit somebody in the hospital or go to the nursing home and serve those people, or go visit somebody who's been out of church or backslid or something. But Jesus had zeal for the house of God. And he went there and cleaned the house. And nowadays, they tell it to me all the time. I get to preaching about being faithful, and you ought to be faithful, and you ought to be in your place. And if you're not in your place, who's going to do what God called you to do? We'll have to get somebody to do it that's not supposed to be doing it, and that never works out right. Where's your zeal? We'll have Bible conference. And every time we have revival, we have about half a crowd every night. about half the crowd. We don't even have enough to have a choir. That's sad. That's really sad. I remember when revival times were full house. People sang. People praised God. People got off of work to do it. Left work early, got off, took their vacation, and so they go to revival and things like that. And now you ask the average church member to do anything, and they'll say, well, preacher, I just don't have time. Because the zeal that they ought to have about God's house is in something else. Amen. Some sport, some hobby, some habit, somebody. But they saw that the zeal of the house of the Lord had eaten them up. And that's godly behavior. That's godly behavior. We ought to be, in the right way, proud of the house of God. This ought to be the, next to your house, this ought to be the most important house in town. Amen. Boy, people now, they say, well, I can't do it. My kids have to go to school. My kids went to school. They went to church. Hello. We can't go to revival. My kids get in bed too late. They have to go to school. My kids did it, and they went to school. And by the way, they made good grades, and all of them have graduate degrees and teaching degrees and everything else now. Zeal. We need some zeal for the house of God again. I better go on. That was almost as bad as the cussing. John chapter 14. Look at it with me. I'm just talking about Jesus was our example. And if we're Christians and he's our example, then we need to look and see what he was like, don't we? What kind of character did he have? What kind of person was he? John. Did I say 12? 14. John 14:30. I'm just checking to see if you're listening. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and had nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. In other words, he's saying this, it doesn't matter what the devil does. I've got a job to do. I've got, God the Father has given me something to do, and I'm going to keep on doing like he told me to do. Now, we can't go to the cross, and we can't be crucified for him and all that, but he says, even so, he said, I do. That's his behavior. That's what he was known for. Let me ask you, what are you known for? What do you do? What do we do? Some people's known for making money. Don't worry, it ain't none of y'all. If it was, we'd have new sanctuary. Some folks are known for sports. Some are football nuts, and some are baseball nuts, and some are NASCAR nuts, and basketball nuts, I can just go on and on. And then don't, women, hold on. Some are shopping nuts. My wife took me shoe shopping last weekend. But I got me two pair of shoes. Amen. And then I went and sat down in the car, and her and my granddaughter went shopping two more places. I had mine. Look. If my behavior, if I'm going to be known by my behavior, I want them to say, he's a Christian. Amen. By his behavior. I mean, now, your walk ought to be just as loud as your talk. And your walk is your behavior. Amen? And when people see us, do they think about something other than Christ? Or do they think, well, there's a Christian. I better hurry. I'm running out of time. Alright, look at 2:21 again. Turn over there. 1 Peter 2:21. We started off with that. And, in verse 21 it said, for even hereunto were ye called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Now, he just got through talking about him suffering. Now, after this, he talks about his living. But before the previous verses, he was talking about Jesus' suffering. So, let me ask you something. Would you think that everything Jesus did, whether it was easy or not, would you think that his actions were godly? Godly actions? I would. I'd say all his actions were godly actions. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, he says this, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now, look, if you want to be like somebody, you're going to watch what they do, right? It's not so much what they say, though you want that to be good, but what are they producing? What are they doing? How are they in bad times? We just got through reading his suffering, he kept on. You wouldn't believe, I've been preaching since 1981, I was saved in 1978, and you wouldn't believe how many preachers, they said they was preachers. I didn't agree with some of them then, and I don't agree with it now, because they're not even in church now. A little suffering came along, and they threw in the towel. Well, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's not, look, I don't know who told this story that Christianity was going to solve all your earthly problems. As a matter of fact, you're on the winning side now, but you're still in a war. You just change sides. You got a different captain, that's all. Now this one has promised to restore anything that you might lose in the battle, but that doesn't mean you're getting out of the battle. You just got different enemies now. You ever notice before you got saved, the devil and his crowd never bothered you? Then after you got saved, seemed like half the world turned against you. Amen? And then, not only that, but John 13:15, he says this, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." He's an example in our service. He said, "Now here I am. I'm your example." And he said, "You are to do to others like I've done to you." See, the world's idea is do unto others before they can do unto you. Ours is do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I want people to love me. Don't you want people to love you? I can't stand it when people don't like me. I lose sleep over it. I really do. I can't stand it when people's mad at me or they say they hate me or something. It bothers me. I want everybody to like me because I want to like them. I want to love everybody. And because of that, when they don't return that love, it hurts my feelings. Now maybe it doesn't yours. But it does mine. I want people like me. I really do. This guy on Facebook, he's got this page called King James Bible Page or something. And now he started taking my old quotes from newspaper articles and stuff and putting them on his page and spreading them around. And at the end it says, "Pastor Ron Runner." Whoa! But the thing about it is, he cuts out parts of some of the sentences and he puts dots, 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 and then he puts the run of sentences in there. And exactly, now he don't make them sound wrong, it's just that he doesn't say everything I said. And some of the things, if you don't say it, everything that I said, it's gonna make you mad. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you can't do that. But I want everybody to like me, and I won't like everybody. Now I know I can't. I know there's some people that I can't be around. I know there's some people that I just wouldn't be able to like them if I was around them. But I don't want to hate them either. And I don't want them to go to hell. And sometimes I wish I was a better Christian. Maybe they would be more likely to like me, you know. But he said, if you'll do it unto others as you'd have them do it unto you. So you know what he's saying, Thomas? Doesn't matter whether they like me or not, I have to like them. Doesn't matter if they'll ever love me back or not, I have to love them. Doesn't matter if they treat me awful, I have to treat them right. If he's my example, I mean, they spit in his face. They plucked out his beard, his hair, put a crown of thorns on him. And he prayed for them on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sometimes down south, and we'll look at people and we'll say, Lord, help him. He don't know no better. Ain't that the way we say it? Lord, help her. She don't know no better. She ain't got no sense. And that's really what Jesus was saying. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. If they knew what they were doing to us, they wouldn't do it. Because if it wasn't nothing but the fear of God, they wouldn't do it. Because they'd be afraid God was going to get them. And he may. I don't know. But they'll be judged for it in the end. But if they knew our heart, how we want to be like Jesus, how we want to love like he loves, then they probably wouldn't do bad to us then. Because they'd think, well, I don't agree with them, but they got a right heart. Y'all know what I mean? But if we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to have to serve others. Get in his service. I've had people that just turned against me, went on campaigns to destroy me, come back years later and apologize. You know why? I never fought back. Jesus didn't fight back. Never fought back. Now, sooner or later, God will reveal himself to everyone that's breathing. In one way or another, they'll meet God somehow. Somehow God's going to interrupt their life, Sister Mary, like he did mine and yours. We wasn't looking for him. And when he does, I want them to remember, like I remembered, the people that had come into my life that were like Jesus. And maybe they don't want prayer right now, but one day maybe they will want prayer. And they'll say, well, if I can just find old Ron Roddy. Right now they may not want sympathy, but one day they might want sympathy. And if they just remember that there's a me and a you and we're trying to be like Jesus, they'll come to us and that may bring them to salvation in Christ. I know a lot of people won't agree with everything that's preached down here and everything that's taught down here. I know there's a lot of Christians that are worldly and carnal, and some are just ignorant. They're just following blind leaders. And they probably think, well, Ron Roddy, that old dinosaur down there and that bunch he's got down there, they so old-fashioned and everything. But let me tell you something. One day, a tragedy or something might wake them up and say, look, I know where I can go get saved at. I know where I can go get right with God at. Because we were trying to be like Jesus. He's our example. Now, I want to teach you the Bible. You can go out here and say Ron Roddy said, but I'd rather you say the Bible says. I used to work with this woman. She worked in the building department. She'd come around there and just fuss and cuss and go on about her husband sometimes when she was emptying my cash register. I was selling beepers. I'd say, you ought not talk about your husband like that. The Bible says, and then some other time I'd say the Bible says, and I did a guy like that too, And both of them said this. She said, I went home and told my husband that Ron Roddy said this and Ron Roddy said that. And he hates your guts. I said, whoa, why didn't you tell her? I said, Ron Ronnie said, the Bible says. And then the man, he went home and told his wife, said, Ron Ronnie said that this, and Ron Ronnie said that, and Ron Ronnie, and he said, he came one day and said, my wife hates your guts, and she ain't never met you. I said, go tell her that Ron Ronnie said, the Bible says this. And that was the couple that later on I led to Christ, went to their house, led to Christ. So look, let's be like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I dare you. Be like Jesus this week. Let the fruit of the Spirit come out.
Yes.
And by the way, you don't have to worry about how to witness. Just open your mouth and start talking. God, the Holy Ghost lives in you. It'll come out. You'll be a good witness. But you got to have enough faith to open your mouth the first time.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for this.